Chapter number one, if you would, we'll read three verses together. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Several weeks ago, we started this series entitled, How Will We Be Remembered? And I really ask everyone in the church to ask yourself that question. How will I be remembered as a person, as a believer, as a husband, as a wife, as a spouse, as a parent, as a teenager, as an adult? How will I be remembered? And then I ask you to ask yourself this question. How will we, as Victory Baptist Church, how will we be remembered? Because whether we want to realize this or not, there's going to come a time, if the Lord tarries his coming, where all of us which do it now about people who are in the past, we remember about them. There'll come a time where people will remember something about us. Some of you never thought that you'd get to the point to where death would sue approaching, or that you could even fathom the idea that you wouldn't be here. But there's going to come a time when we will all face death, and we'll all face that time when we will no longer be here on this earth. And so with that case, how will we be remembered? How will Victory Baptist Church be remembered 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now if the Lord would tarry his coming? The Apostle Paul was writing to this church at Thessalonica. And he was writing some new believers. They were right in the midst of an immoral city, a city that's full of idolatry, a city that's full of secularism, and a city that they, we know, had persecuted them. They were just a few weeks to months old in their new faith. And he's writing them, and he's reminding them of some things that he remembered about them, the Apostle Paul he's writing about. The first thing we talked about that he remembered about them in verse number 3 was their work of faith. The Apostle Paul said, I remember constantly how that you displayed to me as new Christians your faith. And how your faith was amazing and bold in the midst of persecution, in the midst of a wicked world. How you turned from serving idols to serve the living God. I remember your faith and how your faith worked. Your faith produced something. Your faith was something. And listen to me, true faith in Jesus Christ produces something. If Jesus Christ is in you, he changes you. Things come out for the good. And so their faith was working. He also said, I remember your labor of love. The Bible says in verse number 3 again, your work of faith and your labor of love. Do you understand this morning that the Apostle Paul recognized in these new believers that their love was the most important thing that he showed them? Throughout this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, you'll see the Apostle Paul talking to them and writing about holiness and writing about getting closer to God and growing him. In one particular phrase, he talks about in the love in which God has called them. He was writing about his remembrance of their love that labored and that worked, that served out of the love that Jesus did for them. Somebody asks, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, do you love Jesus? Well, are you living for him? Are you serving him? Today, we're going to talk about one final thing, how this church was remembered, and I believe something how we all can be remembered today, and that's number 3, a hope that is patient, or a patient hope. The Bible says in verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Now, before I begin in this message today, there was one phrase that I do need to make note of, and that's in response to all three things, and that's that prepositional phrase, in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I remembered your work of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remembered your labor of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remembered your patient hope, or your hope that is patient in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just understand. Let me make sure we all understand something. There's two thoughts about this. Number one, the thought is this, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have a work of faith. We cannot have a labor of love. And we do not have a hope that is patient. We of ourselves cannot do it, folks. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him, because of Him, through Him, for Him, that we can have a work of faith, that we can labor in love, that we can have that hope, that while we're here today. If you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're merely just laboring for no reason. You're just wishing upon a star. But if you're in Jesus Christ, He can work through you in faith. He can work through you in love. And He can give you the hope to endure this sorrowful life that we go through. But that's where it starts, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think about this morning as He wrote to them, yes, I'm commending you and I'm remembering how you worked in your faith and how you labored in your love and how you had a great hope. But I'm also remembering that all of that is because of one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Everything this church ever does or will do is not because of us. It is not because of me. And it's not because of you. It is all because of Him. And the reason why we're here today, and the reason why you got here today, and the reason why you can do what you can do today is because He gave you the strength to do it. And maybe we could do more if we would rely on that little phrase, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today our subject matter is that of a patient hope. What does this mean, and how does this apply to me? The Apostle Paul writing about something that we're all familiar with, faith, a belief, to trust God for the impossible, for the unbelievable, a labor of love. We know what it means to love something and love it. We know what that means to labor for those things that we love, or to labor for Jesus Christ because we love Him. What does it mean to have a patient hope? Today I want to just give you those definitions, and simply this will preach its own message today. The word patience here is simply means endurance. Did you write that word endurance down? I'm going to give you two words this morning that'll summarize the message and summarize this phrase. And that's the word endurance. The Bible says that He remembered their patience of hope. When we think of the word patience, it has the idea of endurance. It speaks of hard or tough or difficult. It has the idea of perseverance, or to remain constant. If I can give you an antonym or something of opposite, it is the opposite of quitting or throwing in the towel. To endure. It is not some clench your teeth, gutty thing. No, it's just a steady determination. You think, why patience? Why endurance in this passage of Scripture? Why would the Apostle Paul recognize in these believers not just their hope, but their patience of hope? Why is this such a big deal to these believers? Here's why. Because trouble is the normal experience for life. Now, these Christians were no different. And can I tell you something? Just because you name the name of Christ, you do not have some type of exclusion from trouble or disease or sickness. In fact, we think sometimes that because we come to church, or because we have some type of a spiritual bone in our body, that we're better than someone else. Can I tell you something? You read in the Scripture and you look across the world. We are just alike, saved and unsaved, when it comes to sickness, when it comes to death. We all will face trouble. There are people, good people in this church, that are fighting diseases. But you know what? There's also people in our community that care nothing about God that are fighting diseases. I guarantee if you talk to Miss Claire, you talk to some other people who go to these the chemo treatments, they'll meet people who may or may not go to church, but they're facing the same thing. The idea that we as Christians feel like that we have some type of monopoly on God's blessings because we name the name of God or because we claim it, that God's going to automatically just rid us of all kinds of trouble. In fact, trouble is to be expected. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said this, that you will be hated for my name's sake. That the Bible speaks that a man who is born of woman will have trouble. You see, we follow Jesus Christ. We follow his example. But if you look at Jesus' life, the best man that ever lived, perfect, sinless, and none of us would have any right to say that we can experience anything less than our leader, Jesus Christ. Beginning from his birth, scandalous. Beginning from the day that he was born in a trough. Born in a barn. Beginning from the first days of his life as they ran away for their lives, as they were hiding Jesus Christ. Beginning from those days to the days that as he grew up and he was rejected by his own people. And he wept because he was hurting. And he was whipped and he was bruised and he was spat upon. And Jesus Christ himself, our leader, our Savior, our Jesus Christ, experienced trouble. Why do we not think that trouble will not be a part of our life? I know this message is probably not the shouting, hooping, and hollering message, but this message is a message that needs to be preached today because the Apostle Paul recognized that in the midst of their lives as new Christians, they experience trouble, and I would be a preacher not worth my salt if I didn't stand here today to tell you that you could walk in here wonderful and you could leave out those doors and 5 minutes later be in the worst trouble of your life. The affliction of our lives extend as like cancer, sicknesses, financial issues, marital issues, family issues, emotional issues, conflicts, death. All these are a normal part of what we have to live with on this side of heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, be patient in tribulation. In difficulty, in hard times, in rough times, be patient. Or in other words, here's the word we're talking about this morning. Endure. Keep going. Be steadfast. Be constant. Endure. This morning, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to give you a formula to rid away the problems of your lives. But all I can tell you is that the Apostle Paul recognized in this church that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of difficulty, one thing that was said about these believers was that they endured. They kept going. Maybe there's tears, and I'm sure there were. And maybe there's confusion, and I'm sure there were. And maybe there was some doubt, and I'm sure there were. But he said there was patience with their hope. There was endurance. There was a constant moving forward. There was a steady determination. And let me just say this. I do believe that we must endure, but we cannot do it by ourselves. That little phrase, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only reason why we've made it this far. And it'll be the only reason why we can continue to next week. Endure. He knew there was trouble coming. And let me inform you that trouble is coming. That hurt is coming. That pain is coming. And that difficulty is coming. And that mountain of trouble and that mountain of tribulation is coming. And he said they endured. There was patience. I know when we think about patience, we think about sitting in the long line of traffic in Bryson City. I know when we think about patience, we think about waiting on someone that's running late Todd. No, I'm sure. We're waiting on someone that we're meeting and they're not here yet. I know we think about patience, we think about kind of just waiting. And yes, patience has some to do with waiting, but this particular word has the idea of waiting in difficulty. I mean, and almost to some degree, waiting with nothing to do or waiting with no pain is fine. But what if you're having to wait with hardship? What if you're having to wait with cancer? What if you're having to wait with marital issues and family issues and financial issues? What if you're having to wait? What if you're having to remain constant in the midst of difficulty? The Apostle Paul said, I remember this church. I remember these new Christians that in the midst of difficulty, they remained constant. I'm not saying you can't cry. I'm not saying there's no doubt. I'm not saying there's no confusion. I'm not saying that there's not going to be any worry. I'm not saying that the anxiety may not be there, but I'm saying that there will be endurance through difficulty. The Apostle Paul said this church, these believers, they had patience of hope. The interesting thing about this word patience, and particular about this word patience here in this verse, is that it's tag teamed with another word. Patience of hope. Almost the direct opposite of the word. Hope doesn't insinuate necessarily that beautiful or great or wonderful. It doesn't insinuate that. And I'll tell you what it means in just a moment. But patience is teamed up with the word hope. Interesting that the Apostle Paul said they endured to hope. They kept going and remained constant because of hope. In other words, hope possibly produced by endurance through suffering. Their hope here was not just some kind of wishful thinking. In fact, let's define this word. Patience means endurance. Hope means expectation. Write that down if you would. Hope means expectation. They weren't just waiting to wait. They weren't just remaining constant to remain constant. They weren't just wishing upon a star. You see, when we think about hope, the modern language thinks of wishful thinking, or I hope something will happen, or I hope I will win the lottery, and if you do, I hope you will tithe off of it. But we think that we will hope and some kind of wishful thinking. In the English vocabulary, it is genuinely distinguished from certainty. We would say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that it happens. The English language hope, it is nowhere near the Greek word that we find here, hope, that the Bible gives us. Hope in the English language is I wish. Hope in the Greek is I know. I believe. I expect. I trust. The biblical definition is a confident expectation. It is a firm assurance regarding the things that are clear and the things that are even unclear. Hope is a belief that something good is coming, that maybe not now or maybe not next week or maybe I don't even know when it's going to happen, but something good is coming, something better, something greater, something more fulfilling. Hope is the component to every Christian's life that is truly a believer in Jesus Christ. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is expecting and knowing and trusting and assuring that it will happen. They endured, not just to endure, not just to say they made it through, not just so they could have a pin on their chest to say, I've fought this and I've beat this and I'm being persecuted. That's not why that they had patience. They had patience because of hope. Because they believed something. Because they were assured of something. That's why many of the disciples went to their death by martyrdom. That's why many Christians across the world are being killed. They're enduring difficulty. Why? Because they believe something. They expect something. They believe a promise that is given. They believe a scripture that they have. They believe that something better and something good. And listen, just in the words of the Apostle Paul, if we have hope in this life only, we are most miserable. There's an endurance, but we don't endure just to endure. We endure because we believe something better is coming. We go through difficulty. And we remain constant. And we walk up the mountain of trouble. Because we know on the other side, there's something waiting us. That's hope. The Apostle Paul said this church endured some things. But in the midst of their endurance, there was an everlasting confidence. Not in themselves, not in their church, not even in their family, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. They endured because they knew there was something great. You see, Christian hope is when God has promised that something is going to happen. And we believe it to the point that we will go through anything to get to it. That's hope. I believe God so much that if it means death, I'll go through it. I believe God so much if it means persecution, I'll go through it. I hope in God so much, I believe and I expect in God so much that I'll go through the sickness if it means to believe what He said is true. If it means to get there, I hope in God so I can get there. That's what it means. It means our future, though unclear to our eyes, is completely satisfied. And we're completely satisfied with what God gives us. Why? Because we believe, we trust, we've been assured, and we can have assurance that what He told us is going to happen. Our hope. When our hope is in God, He completely satisfies us. You wonder why there's so many things going on in the world that continue to try to satisfy. When we put our hope in Him, when we put our expectation in Him, when we put our trust and our assurance and our belief in Him, He completely satisfies us. This morning, I don't have much hope in this life. Right? If you're hoping in something in this life, miserable person. If you're hoping in this world, you're going to be disappointed. If you're hoping in our government, in any government, you'll be disappointed. If you're hoping in a job or a occupation, a career, you'll eventually be disappointed. If you're hoping in a person, even a spouse or a friend or a family member or a neighbor, they will disappoint you. If you're hoping in a church, churches will fail. If you're hoping in a pastor, a denomination, they will fail. They will disappoint you if you're hoping in a church. Maybe you're hoping in your health. Hoping in the economy, hoping in some kind of 401k and some kind of trust. You have your hope in some kind of paycheck. You have your hope in something finite here on this earth. You will be disappointed. And you know what? If your hope is in those things, you won't be able to endure it. You won't be able to make it. But you know what we can have hope in?
We can have hope in a risen Savior. We can have hope in the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. As the song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is in the remission for our sins. Our hope is in the renewing power of the Word of God. Our hope is in the ransom of the world, God the Father who gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the righteousness of Christ because He was righteous. We don't have to be righteous because He did what we couldn't do. Now we have been declared righteous. Our hope is in the righteousness of God. Our hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one day He'll step out and He'll call us all home. Don't know when, don't know how it all is going to happen, but I know He's going to step out and we're going to go up in the air and the rapture will occur. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in the right that we have because of Jesus Christ to see Him face to face. This old song we used to sing is in the youth choir growing up at Gospelite called When I See His Face. When I see His face. I have a hope today that one day, because of what's been made possible with Jesus Christ, that I will see Him face to face, body to body, touch to touch, that I will see my Savior. That's my hope. My hope is in the reward that I have of eternal life made possible through Jesus Christ. That to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. That this life is not just the end of life. It is only the beginning of the life that God's prepared for us in heaven. My hope is eternal life. My hope this morning is the reservation that's been made for me in heaven. That I didn't punch a ticket. That He punched my ticket. I didn't write my name. He wrote my name. I didn't do anything. He saved me. And because of what He did, I got a reservation. I got a mansion with my name on it. And I got a reward waiting for me in a place called heaven. That's my hope. And I have a hope in the rest, in the joy that forever we'll share in the presence of God Almighty. Can you imagine? Can you believe that one day there will be no more sin, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more trouble, there'll be no more disease, no more hospitals, no more funerals, no more divorces, there'll be no more rapes, there'll be no more child molestations, there'll be no more murders, there'll be no more robbery, there'll be no more crime, there'll be no more police officers, there'll be no more medical workers. You know why? Because all of that will be in the rest and the joy that we'll experience in a place in the presence of Almighty God. That's where my hope is. And because that's my hope, we can endure. Because He is our hope, we can face whatever tomorrow holds. Whatever the difficulty you're going through that causes you to weep every night in your sleep, you can endure through the Lord Jesus Christ because we're not wishfully thinking, we're not hoping with some kind of figment of our imagination. But we are assured, based on the Scripture, that what's waiting for us is far better than what we're going through here. That's my hope. Do you have hope? Do you have hope? Are you reassured and confident and expecting that what God says in His Word is going to happen? When I was a kid, my parents used to bribe me. Any parents ever use bribery as a tactic to teach your kids something? My parents used to bribe me, I guess. They'd say, if you would do this, then we're going to let you do this or let you go here. One time, my dad said, "All right, you're old enough to get a car." And I was 12 years old. And you're old enough to get a car, and you don't have a job or anything right now. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to help you get this car, but you're going to have to do some things." And I said, without even thinking, because a car. I mean, he didn't even tell me what kind it was, or I wouldn't have done him anyways, but "I'm going to help you get a car, but you're going to have to help me do some things." And I said, "You write my name down. I don't care what it is. I will go through the water, through the fire with you, Father. Give it to me and I will do it so I can have a car and I can take these girls, I mean, Mandy, and I can go and we can have a wonderful time. Read her Bible and pray and everything, you know." My dad said, "Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do later." About a day or two later, he came back and my dad had a list of things that I needed to do. Some of those things weren't really difficult. Well, for me, it was clean my room. Things very small. Then my dad worked at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. He was the chaplain of the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission for 12 years. One of the things that I had to do was come to the rescue mission and help him. Now, the word "help" is a relative term, because what he wanted me to do, even though they paid people to do this, he wanted me to help with the procedure of drug testing. If you know drug testing and what that means, it's nasty, okay? It's nasty. Then we also had a barn right outside our house, a kind of dilapidated barn, and he wanted me to tear the rest of it down. I mean, he wanted me after school to come home and work. I mean, what was he thinking? I come home after school, I'd have a basketball goal sitting there. I'd have Twinkies sitting in the cabinet, you know, and I'd have to walk out the door and go out there to this barn. And I'd have to, I mean, sweat and work. And I'd get these splinters in my hands. I mean, it wouldn't help my golf swing very much, you know. And I worked and worked and sweat. It was difficult. It was hard. I'm making light of the story all to say this. I did all of that because my dad promised something. There was a car that was going to be waiting for me. There were many times when I was in that barn and I was hot and I was sweaty. There were many times at the rescue mission I was thinking to myself, this is crazy. I can't believe my dad would make me do this. But I knew he promised something. There was a car waiting. You know, the Bible says that what we go through in this life is, in the scope of things, is small compared to the weight of glory. Compared to the wonderful thing that we can't even fathom. What you go through, what you're going to go through, what you are dealing with right now is hard, or will maybe hard. But God has promised you something. That is patient hope. May 50 years, 40, 30, 20, 10 years from now, our kids, our grandkids, the people come behind us, look at us and say, "Boy, they had it rough. They cried. There was pain. There were tears. They were hurt. But they had hope. They had hope." Let's pray. Father, you know what we need, and I pray that you would give us exactly what we need today. Touch our hearts. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, right before we have a hymn of invitation, I would like to play a video for you.
And it's simply just a song that says, there is hope. I want you to listen to this word, the words, and then we'll have a short time of invitation.
Sometimes we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell you, He's always led. Nailed upon the tree, He cried out to His Father, why have you forsaken me? But through my suffering Savior, He brought healing to our pain, and the one who raised up from the dead can restore us all.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe that phrase in that song is meant for all of us today. Jesus sent me here today to tell you there's hope. He knows what you're going through. It's been difficult, but there's hope. We have an invitation today. If God's speaking to your heart in any way, why don't we come and let God comfort us and help us today? Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No one